Good evening. Good to see everyone out this evening. Thank Brother Brian for his prayer on my behalf. As always, when we get up here and speak, I ask that you follow along with the things I say. If you find that I say anything in error, be my friend if you bring it to my attention with those things. I had Brother Ethan read from Exodus, if you want to turn back there real quick, Exodus chapter 20. Won't be reading a lot of these verses, but if you touch on time to time, because that's my subject. It's the Ten Commandments. People talk about it all the time. There's talk about should it be in our courthouses and so forth and schools, and do we follow it nowadays? And that's kind of where my lesson is going to go tonight. Specifically, it's going to be about the nine commandments that we do keep. There's Ten Commandments, of course. They're listed in Exodus chapter 20, the first 17 verses. That's where we find it recorded. They were given by God. They were given to the children of Israel. They were given on Mount Sinai, and they're one of the most famous sayings in the Bible. Not everybody can quote them to you or repeat them to you, but most people acknowledge that they do come from God and they can be found in the Bible. Multitudes also, like we mentioned, also believe that they apply to us today, all ten of them. But do they? It's often said by brethren that we do not keep the Ten Commandments today. And this is a true statement. We don't. We're not under that law anymore. We're under the new law. But it's also said that nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament to us. But can we find them? So if you want to take some notes tonight, I want to go through those. When you speak to people about these things, you can have some verses there to back those things up. We're going to find those nine times that were the nine commandments that are listed there in certain verses in the New Testament. But in our lesson today, tonight, we're going to notice three things overall. Number one, why we do not keep the Ten Commandments today. Number two, as we said, where are those nine that we do keep? And number three, we'll end by talking about the Sabbath, that one that we do not keep today. So why we do not keep the Ten Commandments? Again, much of the religious world holds to the Ten Commandments. But as Christians, we need to understand that we do not keep the Ten Commandments at all. And the reason, again, is because they're part of the law of Moses. They're not part of the New Testament. It's a different law that has been done away with. Some people try to distinguish between the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. They'll reason that we must still keep the Ten Commandments, but not the law of Moses, just the Ten Commandments. They sometimes refer to the law of Moses as the ceremonial law. So they're trying to separate the two, the ceremonial law versus the Ten Commandments themselves. Many of them believe that we ought to still worship on the Sabbath. There's some people who believe that. We should be meeting on the Sabbath day rather than the first day of the week. And like I said, we'll have more to say about that at the end of our lesson. New Testament shows that the Ten Commandments are not separate from the law of Moses. They're the same thing. So we've got to, first of all, establish that. In Scripture, we find they were both nailed to the cross. And so let's first turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Like I said, keep your finger there in Exodus, or mark Exodus. We'll go back there every once in a while. But let's start in Ephesians. Again, trying to establish that they're the same thing, the Ten Commandments and the law. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. We'll begin in verse 14 here. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death enmity. So here we mention the word ordinances and also law of commandments that is mentioned here. And they were abolished under the cross or through the cross. In the law of Moses, he describes the Ten Commandments as part of these ordinances. They're the same as Moses describes them. One example is in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Again, trying to show that these are the same. I'll give you time to turn there. This is the first verse of chapter 5. Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." Moses here begins to speak to Israel in his farewell address. He speaks here about the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today. And beginning in verse 6, we won't read that, but beginning in verse 6 of this chapter, he begins to quote the Ten Commandments, as you see in those verses there. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. So again, Moses putting the two together there. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. Going further here. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So here it speaks about the handwriting of requirements that was against us, and again, nailed it to the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Continue to tie these together. Second Corinthians chapter 3. And here we'll read the first three verses. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So reference here to those Ten Commandments in the stone. Again, written in ink or tables of stone. Also look to verses 7 and 8 in the same chapter. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how would the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So those who try to separate those, we refer to this glorious appearance of Moses here, as it appears here. Turn over to Exodus chapter 34. And this will be a reference back to that appearance he had. So we can clearly tie these two together as being the same. Chapter 34 of Exodus and verse 29. Talking back here, it says, Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So this pinpoints when his face was shown. The tablets also being part of the law. So this ties all those things together. Because the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, it's no longer needed. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Familiar verses here. Explains why we have the old law written for us today. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll begin at verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So again, this explains the law was simply a tutor or a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ like the Gentiles. And so here we've established that the Ten Commandments are part of the old law. They're the same. So there's no separation of the two. So getting back to the Nine Commandments that we do keep, where we find those. If we're not under the old law anymore, then why do we have to keep certain ones of them, but not that other one? So again, most of them are repeated. Some of them are elaborated on. Some of them are flat out repeated, and we'll get to those as well. But if you'll turn back over to Exodus chapter 20. And we'll begin going through these. You need to keep in mind these are part of the old law. That's why we don't fall today. We're not under the old law or under the new law. Verse 3, the first one, You shall have no other gods before me. Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Again, some of these are stated, some of these, the ideas are elaborated on. Mark chapter 12, begin at verse 29. Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. Verse 32 says, "So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He.'" Again, mentioned here, there's one God, and that's to be understood through these. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll be reading 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. I go a little bit slow, so for those of you who may be taking these verses down. 8 and verse 5. "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords." So this covers these, whether they're so-called gods, God is to be first. It recognizes that there are other gods, false gods, not real gods, but God is our only one. And this is recognized in the New Testament. Turn back over to Exodus chapter 20. The second commandment. Begin at verse 4 through 6 here. "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Again, you shall make no graven images. Idols were false gods, as Moses wrote about them. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. Let's find our New Testament reference. 1 John 5, verse 21. We're just simply told here, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Very simply stated about not making other idols there. Keep yourself from them. Acts chapter 17. Verse 29. Acts 17, verse 29. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." So again, it speaks to the fact that we ought not to think of God in terms of things that are shaped by man's ideas, man's devising of those things. And this point is further brought out in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." So they did wrong by doing these things. So again, reference here to no idols. Number 3, to turn over to Exodus chapter 20 again. Verse 7. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Again, Jesus continually condemned oaths. Consider James chapter 5. And verse 12. Here we're going to read, we're commanded to not swear by cheapening God's name. "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." So condemned here about oaths. This can include profanity. We always often hear those things, taking God's name in vain. But it's certainly a way to abuse God's name, doing oaths by God's name. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 1. "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed." So again, speaking to servants establishes the point that we're not to blaspheme the name of God. To blaspheme means to speak evil against, taking God's name in vain. the fourth one. We won't turn there, but let's remember the Sabbath day. We'll have something to say about that at the end of our lesson, so you don't have to turn there. And also, these next ones are short, so you don't need to turn back to Exodus. But number five, honor your father and mother. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. This is one of those where it's stated very clearly. In the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So here it actually quotes the verse here. The sixth commandment, you shall not kill. And this is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. And again, as we've brought lessons in the past, actual word here meaning to murder. Let's note a warning of Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 21 and 22 of Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Here you're going to see this repeated, along with a few other commandments that we're about to go over as well. So this is a few of them here in a row. Romans 13, verse 9. Let's go ahead and begin at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is all summed up in the same, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this covers, you shall not kill, you shall not murder. The seventh one, you shall not commit adultery. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. We're told here that marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. And we're told also that fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So again, stated plainly and simply right there. But also turn over to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Again, showing the point that's restated in the New Testament and sometimes in multiple places. Same thought. Verse 9 of 19. Begin at verse 8. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So he stated here as well. I guess number 8. You shall not steal. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 28. Told here, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So again, we're told here, steal no longer, covering that. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as well. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6. Another thought here about this. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. Defrauding your brother. What is stealing? You're defrauding others. You're taking from others. The ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your brother. James chapter 4 and verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. If you judge the law, You are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So again, not to speak evil of one another. Bearing false witness is speaking evil of that. But also turn to Revelation chapter 21. See, bearing false witness is a lie. Telling a lie. Especially against someone. Verse 8. We're told here, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So here we have this elaborated on. And then the last commandment, which is in Exodus 20 and 17, which is, you shall not covet. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Again, plainly told here. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then I get a definition of this and further. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Where it's defined. Verse 5 of that. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So I've given a definition here of exactly what it is. So there it is. There you have the nine commandments that are listed or restated in the New Testament. But let's get back to that fourth commandment. Sabbath. Why don't we follow the Sabbath? It was part of the old law, the law of Moses, and so it applies only to Israel under a new law. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We won't read from there, but go ahead and, as a reference. Just so you'll have that. Beginning in verse 12. Let's read, begin at verse 12 here. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. And let's get down to verse 15. Still explaining this. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I wasn't in Egypt. No one here was in Egypt. This is specific to the children of Israel to remember this. It was personal to them in those things. They would remember it because they were slaves there. Exodus chapter 31, turn over to there. It had a set purpose. Beginning at verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to who here? Speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you, you being who? Children of Israel, throughout all the generations. Again, in all the Old Testament, it was only expected the children of Israel, and where they went, the children of Israel, to keep the Sabbath. Today, we do not observe the Sabbath. Again, you can't find it mentioned in the New Testament for us to do those things. But you do find we are to observe the first day of the week. So let's find some references about that. Turn back over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And speaking about partaking of the Lord's Supper, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So here we have a reference, New Testament, our law, first day of the week to do that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 2 verses there. Here we have about lay-by in store. We have verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Again, not the Sabbath day, first day of the week. Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, we see this is the day when Jesus arose. Again, not the Sabbath, first day of the week. Verse 9 says, "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons." So signifying who she was, but first day of the week. The church also started on the first day of the week. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Here you're not told specifically, but we have to use a little bit of math to do these and definitions of Pentecost. But here this day of Pentecost was defined. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Pentecost meaning 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. So if the Sabbath's on a Saturday, we're going 50 days. 49 days later would be on a Saturday. Plus one day to get 50, gets you first day of the week. This is the first day that they did this. That's my lesson for this evening. Again, I hope this is a benefit to you. If you know anyone who speaks of these things, that you have some verses that you can point to and point them toward to study the matter further. If there's any here this evening who is not living right or has made some mistakes or has never obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity with those things to be baptized and have your sins forgiven as you stand and sing.